The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
In 2015, the group filed a lawsuit seeking exemption from recently introduced abortion laws in Missouri on the grounds of religious freedom. Through the suit, they are appropriating the tactics of the religious right to advance their cause.
If we're asking for religious rights for all, then we need to actually understand what that means. That means religious rights for Satanists as well.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Wow. Should you find yourself maybe aligning in any way with the Satanic Temple, take a hard step back and ask yourself how that happened. That audio there is from an organization called Vice. And I was thinking about this today. You know, Dr. Mark Miravalli wrote a piece several years ago talking about how abortion really is a satanic sacrament. And clearly, I've had former Satanist on, like Zach King. I'll share some of his audio with you. Talking about how this is a blood covenant with Satan in some respects. I know women don't go in and say, oh, I'm going to offer my baby up. But Zach said there's a lot of things that people don't understand that goes on within these clinics. And there's a lot of satanic circles that run there as well. And Lord, I just ask for your protection right now as we talk about this type of stuff. It's real. It's real. This is real stuff. This exorcist friend of mine had said to me, he felt Satan was going to lose power. I said, why? He says, because of Dobbs, because Roe has fallen. And the amount of abortions that are going to take place is going to diminish. And when that happens, Satan is just going to, that sacrament is going to be diminished. That dark art, that dark sacrament of human sacrifice. And look, it never stands. I go back to 1531 when the Virgin Mary came to a very dark pagan culture where human sacrifice, bloodlust, was common, and the Aztecs would kill tens of thousands of people a day and offering it to a false demonic god. You know, what happened? Our Lady came, she interceded. We just talked about that the segment before, right? How critical she is in the world today, how she has been since the time she said yes to the angel Gabriel and stood at the foot of her son. You know, how she has interceded as our spiritual mother. Our Lady really is the key to this, and Satan hates her. He hates her with a passion. There's no doubt in my mind about that. If you have children around, I'll give you a quick disclaimer because I don't want to scare anyone with the conversation we're going to have. You know, it may be of a more sensitive nature, so you might want to turn off your radio for the next 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes. Father Mark Barron is going to be stopping by, and we're going to talk about this reality. I mean, really, what underlies what we're seeing in the culture right now? I mean, how can somebody as intelligent as your Speaker of the House or the President of the United States, how can their intellect be so darkened, their heart so hard? How can so many Americans be so blind? It's almost like a spell has been cast over. Maybe ask me. I mean, how can you not, with a rational mind, see that clearly? You heard me many times talk about how abortion has satanic connections, and I'm convinced of it. And it makes sense, because when you look at the spiritual reality, it's God who loves life. Right? And wants life. The devil is the one who hates life. He is the one who loves death. He wants death. You know, if you spell evil backwards, I was always struck by it, a little wordplay. What's it spell? If you spell evil backwards, it spells live. You know, the devil's the opposite of life, right? He's about death. I've heard many times, about the connections of Margaret Sanger, right? The founders of Planned Parenthood. She had very strong connections. Here's a woman who champions eugenics, abortion, death. She was a racist. Margaret Sanger, founders of this, I think, this killing mill, this Aztec temple in our modern day, if you will, Planned Parenthood, had strong connections, not just to birth control, not just to racism, but she practically participated in a cult of sex. I was reading an article, and I won't post it. Maybe you can go over there yourself. It was at thestream.org. There's a guy named John Zimmerich who wrote a piece, and he compiled all kinds of information about Sanger, stuff I never knew. And believe me, it's not pretty, so I'm not going to share it all right here for you. But he quotes, he's a regular friend of this show, Benjamin Weicker. He found in one of Sanger's books that goes like this. He says, Through sex, mankind may attain the great spiritual illumination which will transform the world, which will light up the only path to earthly paradise. So must we necessarily, inevitably conceive of sex expression? If that's the case, right, and you gotta say, wow, then we should be lighting up the skies right now with our spiritual illumination. Instead, we are rotting away in spiritual desolation. We're riling right now. We are waiting in a sea of sin. You know, we are offending God in so many ways. And Satan's doing the happy dance. Unfortunately, there's more to it than that. Zimmerich sums up a learned article from Substack that exposes Margaret Sanger's connection actually to the occult in this way. And I'll share this, and then we'll talk with Father Barron about it. And again, it says this, in Woman and the New Race, Sanger openly argues, and I'm quoting here, for the universality of the infanticide and child sacrifice as the efforts of the feminine spirit to liberate itself, literally using a Canaanite and pagan Greek society as an example. She speaks constantly of the peculiar feminine spirit who need for infanticide and feticide was an implacable expression of its nature. She plays coy, writing of a secret order of radicals, and repeatedly frames women who've had abortion as martyrs who were making a sacrifice, hinting at the unspoken belief that the murder of the fetus is a sacrament. I guess very, very telling. Very telling. Very gross. But you can see the darkness here, can't you? I mean, the words, you know, it's the sacrifice to the false god of Moloch, right? It's dark. It's demonic. I'm joined today for some perspective on this, to talk a little bit about the occult, the satanic origins of all this by Father Mark Barron. He hails from Our Lady of Peace Parish in Darien, Illinois, very knowledgeable in the areas of healing and deliverance, and it's always a delight to have him with me. Father, thank you for joining me. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. It's great to be here with you today.
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think of where I start. Let me get something straight right away. And I want to be clear, because I know there's a lot of women who've made the mistake of having abortions, and I don't think that they're offering a sacrifice. If a woman has had an abortion, you know, what happens there? She's not necessarily or willingly involving herself in the occult, and yet we do know some of these abortionists and others in that practice sometimes, and you know, they are involved. In fact, let me do this, just to put it in context. Zach King, I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, he was a former Satanist. And Maggie, let's play a little bit of audio from Zachary King. He was on my show a little while ago, year ago, whenever it was. And here's what he said about what happens in these abortion clinics. Listen.
One of the main practitioners of magic in the coven. So I wore a red robe. Everyone else is wearing black. And my job is to get blood on my hands. So whether that's the babies or the mothers, right. It's a late term abortion. I got probably the mother's blood on my hands. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing a hex. And that's the purpose of the abortion the hex is the most powerful magic tool that a Satanist has. But for you to get the devil's favor, you have to give him something. Mm-hmm. So you do the hex, and then you perform the abortion, mm-hmm. and the abortion is for the hex. And then it's kind of like, well, you asked the devil for something, and then you gave him what he wanted, which was a dead baby. Mm-hmm. And now he grants your petition.
Yep.
A very, very heinous procedure all around.
So, and that conversation goes on. If I find it, maybe I'll post a link. You can go back and listen to my conversation with this man. So, Father, there's Zach talking about the occultic underpinnings of some of these places. I'd love your thoughts on this. And for a woman who's listening right now thinking, oh, my gosh, what have I been involved in? Maybe some perspective as well.
Yeah, sure. I think that, you know, we understand, and you may have mentioned already that the devil, you know, Jesus defined the devil as a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And so his end game is always death. Ultimately, you know, not just physical death, but especially spiritual death. But anyway, but we know that the devil and we kind of seen this in scripture through the temptation of Jesus, that he wants to be worshiped. And one way in which, you know, we know that it's by nature that we worship God by offering sacrifice. And so the offering of an innocent child, if you will, through blood sacrifice is a way in which the devil twistedly seeks to be worshiped. And so that happens in, you know, in occult, you know, satanic witchcraft kind of really dark occult environments. But it also kind of makes its way into abortion, where, you know, you have to divide up the whole abortion movement into activists versus those who just kind of buy into the lie of my body, my choice and rights and things like that. You know, the activists are the ones who tend to be more who see abortion as kind of like a sacrament in a way in which it does offer worship to the devil. And that's what they want, because they have a warped worldview. So that's what they act out of. But not obviously they then obviously try to create this seductive propaganda that seduces people into buying into their seduction, you know, which again is motivated by the devil. So anyway, I think you can distinguish between the two there, where women who you know, unfortunately do have abortions, that oftentimes they are seduced by it, by the lure of it, and especially seduced by the lure of it given maybe difficult situations that they find themselves in. And so they kind of succumb to it, but obviously we know that God's mercy is always there to heal them and to forgive them. But I think that it's important to see in all of this the overall seduction of the woman, meaning that just like the devil attacked Eve in the beginning in the garden, and we know that when we look at that and study it, we understand the devil didn't go at Eve to try to get her to disobey God with a pitchfork in his hand.
Right.
He did it right. Yeah, we know that he did it by working on her thoughts, yeah. And he did it by trying to destroy her trust in him, and he specifically tried to manipulate her to think that God is holding you back, Eve. You know, God's rules, so to speak, are holding you back from fulfilling your full feminine potential. It's almost kind of like, you know, when he said, no, God knows that if you eat it, you'll be like God. It's almost like he's saying, you know, release the feminine, you know, release the goddess within, Eve, you know, and go eat the fruit. And so anyway, I think you have this kind of seduction taking place, mindset taking place in our culture, with this sense that motherhood and children are holding women back from fulfilling their potential, if you will, and from therefore pursuing the happiness for which they were quote made, and so this is where you kind of see where the feminist movement, the disordered feminism, seeks to try to create this sense of reproduction as a hindrance to women flourishing. And then you can also throw into this idea of, you know, because you mentioned about Margaret Singer being involved with like this kind of like a sex cult thing. And this kind of is ordered to the deification, if you will, in one sense of sex, because this all kind of is rooted in a sense of the distortion of human sexuality and the distortion of what God, of the purpose God has made it for. Instead of it as being a beautiful union between a man and a woman, which can possibly create new human life, it's now seen as just primarily as an act of pleasure. And it's kind of and this is all rooted in this like hedonistic materialistic worldview where man fulfills himself by just fulfilling every whim, every desire he has, kind of like this license, that's where man finds his happiness and fulfillment. And so women who want, you know, men, you know, Hugh Hefner promoted this, yep, through Playboy.
Oh, yeah.
And so women, therefore, for them to have that same freedom to pursue kind of like sexual license and things like that, to just to liberate them, they need abortion. And that way it becomes kind of like a sacrament for them. It becomes kind of like a means of salvation, so to speak, for them as well. And so that's just kind of like some perspective.
I got it. My guest today, Father Mark Baranow. Let me do this, Father. Open the phones because I know we only have a short time with you today. It's a full program. If you want to sound off, share your experience, ask your question, please feel free to call now. I'll try to get your phone call on. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'll take those calls in just a minute or two here as we're talking a little bit about this. And just a side note, as Father, you were talking, I was thinking, this is a great conversation. I've had a great show today. But anyone missed it, when I'm off the air in about an hour or so from now, Maggie will upload today's show, and you can listen to it, and you can share it with others, all right? So just go to relevantradio.com and share my podcast. It's a great way to let others know. Let's grab a call or two for you. Carol's listening to us in Paterson, New Jersey. She's got a comment for you, Father. Carol, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
You're welcome. I want to share my story to all these young girls that are thinking about abortion. In 1970, I had a boyfriend that left me pregnant, and he took me to New York to have an abortion. But I changed my mind. The building was old. I was scared. I was 25 years old. My mother said, "You keep that baby, and I'm going to help you." And now today, my little girl is 52 years old. Oh. She works in a nursing home. She helps people all day long. And I'm 78 years old. 78 years old.
Oh.
And God bless your show for sharing.
Thank
I hope
you.
Someone else does the same thing that I did.
Well, you don't know who's listening, right? You don't know what woman right now found out that she's pregnant and is thinking this is her only alternative. And I say it all the time, Carol. This is a life that God has given you. It'll be your greatest blessing, not a curse, not a burden. Believe me. And Father, I think you have a sister. I have a sister that's a single mother, and boy, does she love her son. And I'll tell you what, be open to life. There is nothing like it. And if you made the mistake of abortion too, I want to say this, and I cannot say it enough. God loves you. His mercy is beyond our comprehension. It's something we'll fathom and marvel and contemplate through all eternity. Just know that, you can be forgiven if you haven't asked for it. And if you've received that forgiveness, know and accept it. And Father, I'll let you just pick up on that theme.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say first, Carolyn, right? That's Carolyn. Carol, yeah. That, boy, what a grace that God gave you to keep you from falling into that pothole, if you will. So praise God for that, which I'm sure you do, and just continue to thank him, man, because, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And so that grace, you followed that grace. Praise God for that. Exactly. I mean, I know people that I've worked with as a priest who have, committed the act of abortion and fallen into that. And I've also seen how the mercy of God, yes, it's been painful for them to come to face and confront the reality of their action. But man, I have seen how powerful the mercy of God is in helping to bring healing and peace to their hearts. And they, one of the things that I was helping at a post-abortive retreat one time, and one of the things that one of the women shared, she said a woman, and this is kind of like wild, but it's like a woman wants to have an abortion like a rat wants to chew its leg off to get free from a trap or whatever. So I was like, man, because we don't realize how, I think we can say most women who have abortions, most of them, majority of them do not want to, but they don't, right? We know they don't feel like they have a choice. And so, I just want to encourage all women, like you said, Drew, there are alternatives, and God will find a way. God is the Lord of life, and he will help you to find a way.
Well, let's take a few more calls for you. Before I do, I'll just want to put some things into perspective. We're talking also about the satanic, the occult, the undercurrent that is often connected with this culture of death. And clearly you can see the fingerprints of the evil one all over. The Satanic Temple, they launched a campaign. This, I forget when this was, a couple of years ago or last year. Time for me is a blur since COVID. They were promoting what they call a religious abortion ritual, in which they compared baptism or communion for Christians to the ritual celebrating the killing of these innocent unborn children in the Church of Satan. And they followed two of those, one of their two tenets is bodily autonomy. And they had a raffle, and they were going to offer, you know, for, it's a fundraiser, raffle off an abortion. You know, it's just, it's absolutely sick. Let me go to Jeremy. He's listening in Madison, Wisconsin. He disagrees with you, Father, he says. Let's see what he's got to say. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling in to talk about some of his views on the satanic influence on abortion. I know a couple of people who aren't faithful, who have gotten abortions, and I don't really think that that's really what it was about. Yeah. The Satanic Temple is really well known as being a sort of a joke, like a sarcastic poke at the faith. So I don't really think that there's a real legitimate belief that there's satanic worship. It's just people making choices that, well, I don't really think they're correct.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, I don't think that, and Father, I'll let you respond to it, but I don't think the women that go in there are saying, hey, I'm going to offer a human sacrifice to the evil one. I think they go there for a myriad of reasons, and my heart goes out to every woman and man who's made this horrible mistake. I mean, it's something you'll live with forever. But again, God's mercy is there for you. I do think, though, as you heard Zachary King point out, he says that, you know, there are cult rituals, satanic rituals performed, not in every clinic, but inside abortion facilities. And he's witnessed them, personally. Your thoughts for Jeremy, who's wanting some perspective on that?
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Jeremy. And I would say again, we have to kind of do some distinctions. So one distinction is that there are human sacrifices, you know, the sacrifice of babies that occur irrespective of abortions within a cult environment, if you will, meaning like, there are Satanists, there are, you know, witches that do things. And I'm not talking about like what we would say popular satanic and witchcraft, you know, things that we might see in our pop culture. We're talking about in the deep, dark recesses of this world. Things are done in the dark that we can't imagine. And some of that is, you know, the sacrifice of children, unfortunately. Sometimes that mentality or philosophy view or a cult way can find its way into the abortion industry for like if there are doctors who participate in the deep dark occult, when they do it, that's how they kind of view it, or abortion workers in general. So we're not saying every abortion that's done is a direct, you know, participation in satanic sacrifice, but there are some, like Drew played that passage from Zachary King. And then again, delineating between those who actively use abortion for the sake of that purpose, for the sake of like a type of a twisted occult worship, versus those who happen to do abortions or, you know, have an abortion because they get duped into thinking that's the only solution they have, and they do that. So there's some distinctions there we have to make. And so, again, we're not saying that every abortion is a direct act of satanic worship, nor is everyone who goes in, like Drew said, is participating in abortion either.
I'll just, you know, one experience I had outside of an abortion clinic one time, Father, really made me aware of the demonic spirits that hover or cling around this place. I was in Kansas City. It was before I ever got into talk radio. I was doing a documentary out there, and we were recording. I think it was Tiller or one of these guys who had these major abortion mills out there. I'll never forget it. I was recording. People were being arrested. They were protesting. They were trying to shut down this clinic. And there was a Catholic priest, and he had the old Roman ritual out. He had it open. He had holy water, and he began to bless the building. And when he began to say these prayers of exorcism over this building and whatever the prayer of whatever the prayer was that he did, it was as if though suddenly a spiritual, you know, wall went up, an invisible force field. And as cars began to approach this, and it, I was there for a couple hours. It only happened when he began to really call upon St. Michael and use these deliverance prayers, these exorcism prayers. When he began to do this, it's like as people got to a certain point, they would roll down their windows in the most vile, heinous, ugly type of profanity spewed from them, stuff you never hear. There was an anger and a darkness in what they said. And then as they moved on, that was it. I mean, I thought, my gosh, there is something going on here that's beyond just a doctor or a nurse coming in here and performing a procedure that liberates a woman. There's something deeply spiritual at work here as well.
Absolutely. I remember when I was at, I didn't graduate from Franciscan, but I went there after I graduated from college for a year. And the university students would go down to the Pittsburgh abortion mill. And so I would go there about once a month or so. And yeah, there was definitely an intense radical pro-abortion element, you know, death squirts, we call them.
Yep.
But, you know, they were very vigilant against what we were doing. And I think we had some holy water out and we were sprinkling it and they were mocking the holy water. And then even now, like where I'm at here in Illinois, in Darien, there's this abortion clinic right down from our parish, this Access Health place. And you know, I was there and there was this like woman who claimed to be a Satanist and stuff like that. And then on these Saturday mornings when their army is out, so to speak, they're kind of like tend to get into the face of these peaceful pro-life prayer warriors. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's where you see the influence of the bad spirit.
Well, Father, I'm grateful for your time. I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Please pray for us. And would you give us your blessing before we end it here right now, especially for those contemplating taking their lives, those in the industry, perhaps, and those who need healing?
Sure. Lord, we call upon your mercy to bless all of us here today, especially those who are thinking about having abortions, those who are involved with abortions, and those who have had abortions. Lord, may they know your mercy and healing, and that they may be brought to a deeper conversion and drawn closer to your merciful heart. Bless us all now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let's catch up soon, Father. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah.
Always good. That's Father Mark Barron. Say a prayer for him, too. What a great priest. Hey, when I return, I'll tell you about something that many claim is a greater threat to life than abortion. Yeah, it makes you scratch your head, right? I thought the same thing. What could be a greater threat to life than abortion? When I come back, I'll fill you in. It actually might surprise you. Don't go away.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
In vitro fertilization ultimately has led to, and today we have 1 million frozen embryos in the United States. So these are children just, you know, stuck in time. And some have been frozen for decades even at this point. Some of them have been abandoned. So then they're donated for medical experimentation, and that means they're killed. They're allowed to grow to be maybe 14 days. They actually just lifted the 14-day rule on embryos. So now, you know, you can actually, it was an ethical guideline. And now you could have Stanford University growing a child to maybe 3 months old if they have find the technology for it. Maybe they can even find the technology to grow that baby till 5 months old in some sort of artificial womb and experiment on this child and kill this child. I mean, there's no law protecting that child right now. They have no legal status. They're frozen. They're experimented on. Many of them are discarded. So they will create maybe 8 embryos and then kill 7 of them because they're seen as not good enough, and then give the couple, you know, 1 or a handful. When you consider all of the disrespect and the extra harm to human life that in vitro fertilization creates, I think the pro-life answer is to say no. This is not a technology that's acceptable. It's not morally acceptable.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, with the fall of Roe, you know, with the battle to protect life has really changed. Abortion still persists. Something that's not often thought about is that IVF, in vitro fertilization, may be more of a threat to than abortion has been. It's good to be with you. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Let's talk about this a little bit. Maybe you have a child that you can see through in vitro fertilization. Maybe you're thinking of going down this path. The church, of course, is very clear in its teaching when it comes to abortion. It can never be justified. It's always immoral because it's the killing of an unborn, innocent human being. And we know the church also condemns artificial contraception. But some people don't realize that the church also condemns methods of artificial conception, okay? Ways of conceiving a child outside of the usual way. And in vitro fertilization, you might know it as IVF, is the most common way that that happens. It often involves injecting massive amounts of hormones into a woman in order to force eggs out of her ovaries. They harvest these eggs, they put them in these petri dishes, then they put sperm in to fertilize them, and then, of course, one or more of those fertilized eggs are then implanted in the woman's uterus. But there's a lot of problems with this for a number of reasons, on a lot of different levels. You've got psychological, you've got physiological, and you've got moral, of course. But one of the problems, as was recently pointed out in a piece I saw, it was a public discourse, if you want to read it, it's how many of these children, these unborn children, are actually aborted. We don't think of that. You think, oh, I'm totally against abortion. I would never, ever have an abortion. But you might be open to IVF. What happens to all those fertilized eggs? Steve Alston, he points out in this article I saw that, according to the latest statistics from the CDC, there were around, this is 2019, there were probably around 330,000 reproductive cycles conducted at these fertility clinics here in the States. And as a result, there were like 84,000 live unborn infants, 84,000 of them. A third of those cycles were for what was called banking, where the eggs or embryos are frozen until future use. And we could talk about that too. But, you know, other cycles were attempts to conceive and bring the child to term. And sometimes they fail. Bottom line, there's a lot of ethical issues with this. I've invited Dr. John Littell, who's a family practice physician, to join me. He wrote a book called The Hidden Truth. It's a full title is The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare. And if you want to check him out, he's got a great web domain, johnlittellmd.com. johnlittellmd.com. Littell's with two T's and two L. John, good to have you back. Or Doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Yes, truly. Yeah, we are kind of good friends on a first name basis. I love being on the show. I love the topic. I'm very sad to hear the topic. It's just the reality is that fertility has been destroyed in so many women. Over systematically, and I discussed that in my book, over the last 50 plus years, that they're desperate for children, and they've waited so long to conceive, women who've been on birth control for 10, 15 years, and they're turning to these fertility clinics, which, as you've so, you know, well outlined, have reduced, we now have, as they said, a million frozen embryos and frozen embryos in this country. And certainly that exceeds, you know, we have a horrible crisis with abortion, which we see we're turning the corner on. But here's the deal. If I can just set this up real quick.
Yeah, please.
After Roe, we have the states right now, each making decisions, right? I happen to live in Florida, and people were celebrating the signing of the legislation protecting babies after 15 weeks. But in fact, 98% of the abortions in Florida are before 15 weeks. And it even allowed us to kill, as we did recently in our town, right here in Ocala, a 23-week-old baby with Down syndrome was deemed by two doctors to have a lethal anomaly, which I knew was reversible. It was called high drops, and the ethics committee voted to allow that baby to die. So what we have is every state now is making a decision as to when human life begins, when to recognize the unborn child as a living human being that's deserving of protections that we all have. It is not for nothing that the American College of OBGYN back in 1983 decided that human life no longer began at conception. You might be aware of that or not. They cleverly decided that human life begins after implantation. And that was put on the books in a technical bulletin back in the 80s because of the anticipation of these tens of thousands of frozen embryos that would come out of this industry, and it is an industry, of baby making. So, yeah, we have a real crisis on our hand. And as we move back the clock of when we can start protecting innocent human lives, you know, here in Florida, we're talking about having a heartbeat bill like some states have. Well, that relies on the ability and the willingness of the provider, the healthcare provider, to try to get that heartbeat heard for that mom. You know, a lot of people won't be. They might be abortion-minded or neutral, and they'll say, hey, it's only 6 weeks, have your abortion. Well, now look at this. These are human lives beginning at conception. They don't have a heartbeat that we can detect, but they're every bit as human as the six-week baby, the 12, the 15, the 12, or you or me talking right now.
Yeah, my guest, Dr. John Littell, if you want to join us, maybe you have a question, a comment, maybe you've got a concern, feel free to dial in, 888-914-9149. I know a lot of people often say, hey, we've got children because we used IVF, and this is often an unpleasant conversation for some people, doctor. What are the morally acceptable ways of helping with fertility? I mean, if this is not an ethical option because of the loss of so many of these embryos, the discarding of those, is it possible just to fertilize one egg and take your shot with that? Or is there a way that we can do this in a moral way?
Well, initially, we have to start with the basics. And the article that you alluded to is a great article in which he makes a great concept that we have crisis pregnancy centers for people, but we need to expand upon the number of fertility centers. You know, I'm one of the probably 2,000 doctors in the country who were privileged enough to go through the training program in Omaha under Dr. Hilger's tutelage, in which, and I have my new grandson in the background, by the way. So
I love it. It's perfect. That's awesome.
So perfect timing. We learned how to use natural procreative technologies to assist with fertility, but that is like 1% of the OBGYNs and family physicians in this country who take care of women trying to have babies. So when you're asking what do infertile couples turn to, first turn to that. Look for a doctor who's an expert in this NAPRO technology, this natural procreative, where we use optimal amounts of progesterone and many other things, and surgical techniques that Dr. Hilgers and others have mastered. Now, after that, look at what we also have. We have frozen embryos that could be adopted, that are being adopted into the wombs and being transferred into the wombs of mothers where, let's say, there's an issue. Now, that's, an adoption where you're saving a life, okay? You're bearing that child, okay? In between the two of those, you have ethical alternatives such as artificial insemination by the husband, which is approved by the Catholic Church, and then we can go into more detail. But the reality is this, when the physician at the fertility center takes a random sampling of eggs and then a random sperm from the 10 million that are in the ejaculate, he is playing God, or she. And I have, I have family members who were born through in vitro fertilization, one set of twins and an extended family member. And I'm obviously, they're beautiful creatures of, that we have to respect. And I don't ever try to bash the people for going to this technology. It's not really their fault. Just like we don't go after the women who've had abortions. It's the people who are behind the industry, who are in the industry, that are to blame for not explaining and having
right, my guest today.
The NAPRO, and they shouldn't be. So anyway, that's what I have to say about that.
My guest today, Dr. John Littell. Doctor, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can grab a few phone calls. If you're just joining us, we're taking a look at in vitro fertilization. Many, now that Roe has fallen, say it's likely more threatening to the unborn life than even abortion is, and the pro-life movement really needs to recognize this reality and form some sort of coherent post-Roe strategy for addressing both abortion and these life-negating reproductive technologies. We'll talk a little bit more. Feel free to join me, too. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's all you're called to do. You know, follow God's plan for your life. He's created you with a mission and a purpose. And if you're open, you'll find great joy and you'll be exactly who he created you to be. We're all called to be saints, of course. And I was speaking to a good friend, Dr. John Littell, who has clearly found his calling. And it's such a delight to have him here with me and be able to tap into his expertise. He's a physician in Florida. He's done wonderful work with women's health. And I thought we'd talk to him about in vitro fertilization today, as a lot of people are concerned about this. I mean, for decades, there's been this spirited movement that fought for the unborn. And it's always been about abortion. It's always been about the child in the womb. Now they're saying, wait, hold on. Let's rethink this strategy, right? We need to realize that, you know, if we're going to protect the unborn, and we've got to do it on every possible front. And the second front may now present a greater threat to human life and dignity, and that's in vitro fertilization. You can also check out Dr. Littell's book, The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare, at johnlittellmd.com. He also, I think, is going to be uploading a video a little bit later on infertility, and I want to talk to him about that. But, Doctor, let's jump right to the phones, and then let's talk a little bit about that issue of infertility. Quincy, Massachusetts. Ryan, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Littell. Welcome.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. I guess my question is around, you know, IVF and insemination. These are all, I've been through the process, my wife, of insemination, and it didn't work. And, you know, it's very stressful and very emotional, very traumatic. And, you know, the next step is IVF. And in the end, these are very costly procedures. And, you know, along with adoption, these are also very, I mean, these are all businesses. And I guess my question is, you know, if you want to be a functioning member of society and be treated normally and have children and, you know, all these things that we value, what are you supposed to do when you can't afford to do these things? I don't have a moral problem with it. These are more financial decisions than moral decisions in my world. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
It's a great point. I've got a son who's fostering a child right now because he and his wife, they're trying to have a child, but they're open to adoption. They face the same challenge you do. I think it's a real problem, Ryan, and my heart goes out to you. The cost of adopting a child today, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Dr. Littell, I'll let you pick up first, and we can talk a little bit about this, because Ryan's not alone. There's a lot of people who he's, I think, voicing, you know, an expression of.
No, yeah, I totally get what you're going through, Ryan. The whole process of going through IVF is incredibly depersonalizing. It's just truly a business based on making tons of money off of an epidemic of infertility that was created, as I said earlier. And what's the childless couple to do? Well, yeah, you already mentioned it, Drew. I mean, we have got so many kids in need, big brother programs, adoption, fostering, and I mentioned the frozen embryos that can – and yet here what we have to do, we have to come to our state legislatures, and which is going to happen in Florida, by the way. Every adoption center came to the same meeting with me in Tallahassee last weekend, and definitely on the table is to make adoption in the state of Florida extremely cost effective, if not no cost at all. We basically need to incentivize people to adopt babies, not disincentivize them. So that's where it needs to go. I encourage people after Roe to go to your state legislatures and fight for the right to adopt babies and not have to jump through the hoops. But again, don't patronize an industry that is capitalizing on the infertility epidemic that they created. You say you have no moral issues with it. I mean, even just the fact that they're profiting off of your infertility should be enough to leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, that's the whole medical industry, so it's kind of a tough one. But
thank
anyway,
you. You're right.
You know, this is also a pro-choice caller that feels like it's important to have these discussions, even if you don't agree with the other side of the conversation. Yeah. And you know, as much as I might not agree with you guys, I do appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Hey, Ryan, thank you.
Have a good one.
Yeah, yeah, and just keep listening. Hey, it's good to have you. Good to talk with you again. I do appreciate that. Let's and Ryan's such a great call to springboard into the issue of infertility. And, Doctor, you and I haven't talked before the show about this or anything. I'm just curious. It seems that more and more people are having trouble conceiving today. And I don't know whether it's environmental. I don't know whether more people have been using artificial contraception that's affecting their fertility. What's going on? We seem to be having an epidemic of infertility as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's kind of... Well, there is a short 25-minute documentary that was recently made called Infertility, a Diabolical Agenda, and it's going to be linked to my website. I appear at the very end of it in terms of some of the stuff that I encountered when dealing with the former head of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. But, yeah, there has been an all-out assault on teenagers as young as 14 and 15 to do things that disrupt their natural fertility. And I see it every day in my office. So clearly the number one reason is what women have allowed to happen to them. Unfortunately, you know, not of their own volition often, but with their bodies being basically turned into infertile creatures. And then they assume they're going to have their fertility back. Male fertility, sperm counts, all-time low in developed countries. Interesting enough, in third world countries, sperm counts have remained pretty much the same. But we've seen a year-to-year dip in sperm counts and fertility in men, which is tied to a host of factors I think you and I did talk about a long time ago, including, you know, the estrogens in the PBC, and I can go on. But, no, there's no doubt about it. We have an infertility problem. No young couple out there that's getting married or preparing for marriage, no mother of a child should ever assume that those people are going to have normal fertility into their 30s. The optimal time, you know, frankly, you know, is in your 20s to have fertility. Now, granted, that's a problem because you don't go out and have babies if you're not ready to be married. But I just encourage everyone to learn a natural fertility awareness method, a fertility awareness method. Teach it to your daughters and your sons. And I hope all the schools start doing this and embracing this, because we can't take our fertility for granted any longer. There's people who are attacking fertility, and that's what was outlined in the documentary that will be hooked to my website in a day or two.
So if people want to track that down, Doc, what's the best way to connect? How do they find that?
Well, johnlittellemd.com. The movie is...
we're having a connection issue, Doctor, I think. I know there's a storm going through your area. One more time.
Infertility, a Diabolical Agenda.
So I have a moment or two left here, Doctor, and I'm just want to follow up on the infertility thing. What can couples do who are struggling with infertility? I mean, like our last caller there, Ryan, and others, they go through, you know, alternative approaches or means, and that's why we're seeing in IVF in record numbers. Of course, China's really going down this path. Nations that have a decrease in population numbers are looking at this as well. What does the average person listening saying, hey, I've been trying to get pregnant, I'm not having luck? Do you have any? Have you had success with people in your practice?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, we start with the basics, with the author of all life, right? I try to encourage, this is a good opportunity to help people understand who has knit the creature, the baby within their womb. And so we start by appealing, you know, to their faith and to God, and realizing that saints can intercede for us, and St. Gianna and St. Gerard and others. But also on the medical level, we just again, get back to the basics of fertility, healthy ovaries, healthy cervix, and adequate amounts of cervical mucus in women who don't even realize what that means in their bodies when they're 15 and 18 and even having children. Most doctors don't appreciate the signs of fertility in women. And again, you know, it's the couples and understanding how God has created our bodies. Mm-hmm. To be fertile. And it honestly is not that complicated. I have a great chapter in my book called The Glorious Symphony of the Reproductive Cycle. And I make an analogy to the parts of a symphony. And it is really beautiful how God put together the pituitary, the ovaries, and males.
Well, Doctor, your cell signal is breaking up here. If you want to check out John Littell, it's last name littellmd.com, johnlittell.com. Doctor, I don't know whether you can still hear me or not, but I just want to commend you on conducting a national radio interview with a baby in the background, because you did a phenomenal job. I'm sure it was stressing out probably a lot of moms out there who heard the baby in the distance.
Oh, that's my daughter's our first grandson, Kelly Glenn. So everybody, hallelujah for a baby grandson. I love it. And we're going to my granddaughter's baptism right now, so my first granddaughter. So this is a great time for babies. Wow. And I'll pray for everyone out there that they have this gift of fertility. And I thank you for the gift of Relevant Radio.
Yeah, Doctor, thank you. Always good to talk with you. I hope our paths cross soon. I'd love to hang out. All right?
All right. You got it, my friend. Take care. God bless.
That's Dr. John Littell. You can check out those videos that he's going to put up on fertility. You go to his website, johnlittellmd.com. And I want to thank Patrick Alog, who's on my phone. So he's always telling me, spell it. It's John, LittellMD.com. He wrote a book called The Hidden Truth, Deception in Women's Healthcare. That's a good read, too. You can check it out. But as he said, say a prayer for him. My thanks to Tom Siskevich and to Maggie Greschel, who is on the board and producing the show today. It's great to have you, Maggie. Thank you for that. And, of course, we'll be back again tomorrow with another full show. Maggie will have this show up. I know we covered a lot of topics today, and I don't remind you, I think, enough of the fact that you can listen to this conversation on IVF or fertility, or you can go back and hear about the occult connection to, you know, the culture of death, or whether or not the consecration of Russia has worked. I mean, so many different issues that we've looked at today, that house vote on marriage. Great podcast. Share it with others. All right. It's relevantradio.com, keyword Drew. Go find my podcast. And if you enjoy the program, if you enjoy the conversation, invite one other person to tune in and join us, okay? Kel Clark is coming straight up. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, have a blessed day.